Yeah, it'll be. I think what I'm going to share is so relevant in the time that in which we're living. It was a message the Lord began to give to me really last summer. So about a year ago, I just started speaking to me about this message of greater grace. There's that verse in James 4:6 that says, "But God gives greater grace." Another translation says, "He gives more grace." And grace is one of these terms that we as Christians we throw around, but I think it's a term that's very, very familiar. You know, we talk about being saved by grace, we talk about grace, 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 but a lot of times Christians don't even know kind of what the essential meaning of the term is. And you know, that the Lord highlighted that verse, James 4:6, to me. It's like he gives greater grace. It's like, wait a second. If we're saved by grace, we talk about living by grace, but then there's this verse that says he gives more grace, he gives greater grace. And I'm thinking, wow, obviously, if he gives greater grace, it means we need greater grace. It means that there's going to be stuff that's coming, there's going to be stuff that's going on in our lives, there's going to be stuff that's going to go on in history that is so intense that we need more grace. Well, fast forward, you know, a year from the Lord really highlighted this message to me, and I preached on it. Every time I would preach, I was preaching in churches here in the United States. I lead a church in the Middle East, and I just kept going back to this message. And it was weird because I didn't know why until, you know, fast forward into 2020 and this COVID thing hits and all the other stuff that's happened even in the last couple of months here in the United States and riots all around the world. It's like, oh, I'm looking back and I'm like, okay, I get it. Now I know why the Lord was so highlighting this message of greater grace, because we were going to need it, you know? And I didn't know what it was going to look like or why, but I just knew that this was something the Lord was emphasizing. Let me just define the term, because you know, a lot of Christians are like, oh yeah, I know what grace is. You know, I know this term. Well, the essential meaning of this word grace is, one definition I like here: the power of God to enable Christians to live the new life in Christ. So, if you want an essential, like, basic definition, what is grace? It's the power of God that enables us to live the new life in Christ. And another shorter definition that I also like is divine enablement. God's enabling us to do what we cannot do on our own. And I think what we've seen when this global pandemic you know, broke out of Asia and just spread around the world, what you saw is you saw all sorts of Christians all over the world. I was in the middle of it in the Middle East, and I've come back and seen it here in the United States. You had Christians that were absolutely gripped by fear. People didn't know what the Lord was saying. You know, a lot of pastors and leaders weren't even clear, you know, what's God saying in the middle of all of this. And I think what we can say is it was an hour, it was a time where we needed greater grace. And so, you know, basically what we've been about since this whole thing hit is helping people find the grace that they need to thrive in this hour. I can honestly say that this has not been an hour where I have been struggling. I would say that this has been like our finest hour. Like, I know that some really bad stuff has happened because of COVID, and people, you know, it's screwed up people's lives and people's finances, and businesses have gone under. There's been a lot of negative consequences that have happened because of it. But in the middle of all of this has been one of the best seasons of, I mean, I know my wife and I, we would absolutely say it's been one of the best seasons of our life to find God's grace in the middle of this, not to get under this COVID thing, but to stay on top of it. And rather than this being a time where we've been struggling and all of that, it's been probably one of the most glorious times that we've ever had in our lives in ministry, in many, many years of ministry. We've been in full-time ministry now for more than 28 years. And I can say I've never experienced a time where God has been more real and we've seen him do more stuff than in this hour of need. And so my testimony is that James says that God gives greater grace. And what I want to talk about for a few minutes is, how do we access this greater grace? Because it's one thing for me to sit here and say, greater grace is available, and then not tell people what are some of God's ordained means by which we can access grace. You know, and I know that the guys that are here, living here in this place that I've just met, like all of you guys would say, you know what? I need greater grace. My life needs greater grace. I want to thrive. I want my life to be redemptive. I want to achieve what God wants me to achieve. I want to fulfill the destiny, the calling on my life. I want to be used to, you know, used by God to accomplish everything he intends for my life. And to do that, we need greater grace. We need to, you know, grace is what, you know, grace is what sets us free. Grace is then what enables us to live. And grace is going to be the thing that enables us in the future to overcome. I mean, the way I read my Bible, things are not going to get better. There are all sorts of things that are coming down the pipeline in the future before Jesus returns that are going to be incredibly challenging. And so if ever we needed to know how can we access greater grace, that's what we need in this hour. So the question is, so we need greater grace. How do we get it? So I want to walk through just a couple of points that the Lord highlighted, biblical points about how we can access greater grace in this hour. And I think the first one has to be this. We have to begin to believe God's word again. So many Christians no longer are holding on to God's word and believing that it's God's word. You know, it's a great book, it's inspirational, it's this or it's that, but it's like we have to become convinced again that what we have in our hands, when we hold the Bible in our hands, we have God's word for us. It is his inerrant word, and it will accomplish everything that God intends it to accomplish. And I think that we live in a day and an age where there are many, many Christians that have their belief that God's word is God's word has been eroded, and they no longer believe it's God's word. And that sets people on a trajectory. When you no longer believe that what's in your hand is God's word, and it's just suggestions or good teaching or people that were inspired or whatever, and they wrote down some thoughts, well, that isn't going to enable us to stand where we're going. We have to believe what, you know, I'll read this verse out of 2 Timothy 3 about God's word. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 17. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And here's the famous verse, 2 Timothy 3, 16. All scripture is breathed out by God, or God breathed, and it is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. So here is our, you know, here is this probably the greatest one verse or a couple verses in the New Testament. We have to hold on to God's word like our life depends on it. And if the devil can come along in the life of a believer and get him to start questioning, well, did God really say that? It just goes back to even the Garden of Eden. Did God really say that? Did God really say that you can't do this? And people begin to doubt. And I can tell you right now that when people begin to doubt God's word, it's not long before they begin to pick and choose what they want to believe in God's word, and eventually they're on a path that will lead them to destruction. All right, So, believing God's word, that's the first way we can access greater grace. A second way that we access grace, this is so basic, this is so Christianity 101, is we have to obey God's word and live a life of obedience, a life of holiness, right? So what is it? You know, we have God's word, you know, we have these instructions that came from heaven. This is how God wants us as his children to live. You know, the house rules, so to speak. And if we obey what he has said, then we will begin to see the fruit of the grace of God released in our lives. Here's a verse out of 1 John. Make sure that no one deceives you. Here's a verse about holiness, about obedience. 1 John 3:7. Make sure that no one deceives you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous. All right? The one who practices righteousness is in fact righteous. This is 1 John 3:7. And another verse linked to this, 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. Since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So I really believe that, you know, first of all, we have God, we're believing, okay, I am convinced that God's word is God's word. And secondly, since I believe it's God's word, I'm going to obey it. But here it is, the Apostle Peter writes, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. So I believe we're living in a day where holiness is actually going to become popular again. So a lot of the church for decades now has tried to de-emphasize and throw away, you know what, that's legalism, whatever. The Holy Spirit, A.W. Tozer, this great Christian leader, he said this. He says, whatever you want to say about the Holy Spirit, one thing the Holy Spirit is going to do in your life is he's going to make you holy. And I'll tell you right now, so much of the church is not holy, it's defiled. It's a cheap grace message. Some would call it a hyper grace message. But we have to believe God's word. We got to believe it's God's word. And then we have to obey it and live a holy life. So what's a third way that we can access the grace of God? Humility. Humility attracts heaven. I know that you guys that are, you know, that are living here, it's like, what do you have to do? If you want to get free from whatever it is that's hold you, you have to acknowledge, you have to say with honesty, you know what? I'm trapped. I'm in trouble. You have to humble yourself and you have to say, I got a problem. I got an issue that's bigger than me. I have to humble myself. What does the scripture say? There's several places. 1 Peter 5:5, clothe yourselves, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I mean, I don't understand why this is not like probably one of the most disbelieved verses in the Bible, but if we want to attract heaven, if we want God's grace, the route to get it is that we humble ourselves. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I mean, we live in a day and an age where I would say humility is on short supply and pride and arrogance is all over the place. But in the kingdom of heaven, humility attracts heaven. And if we want more of God's grace, we need to humble ourselves. We need to say, Lord, I can't do this on my own. Lord, I need help. Lord, I'm weak. You know, what does the scripture say? Even when we are weak, he is strong. This is an acknowledgement. This is what being saved by grace is all about. I can't make it on my own. I can't save myself. I understand that the only way that I can be saved, the only way that I can live this Christian life, the only way that I'm going to do what Jesus said, those who endure until the end shall be saved. The only way that I'm going to be able to make it to the end is if I am living empowered by grace day by day. And in order to get that grace day by day, we wake up and we say, Lord, I need you. Lord, I need grace today. Lord, my addictions are bigger than me. Lord, I want to live a holy life. Lord, I want your power in my life. And if we say that, Lord, I need grace. I humble myself. I'm not going to rely on my own strength. You know, what did Jesus say? Jesus said, apart from me, he's speaking to his disciples, apart from me, you can do something? No, that isn't what he said. He said, apart from me, you can do goose egg. You can do nothing apart from the grace that God gives. I don't know why so many Christians think that they can do so much apart from God's grace. When Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. Another verse that so many don't believe. Let's move on to, I've covered three. How about a fourth one? Another way that we get God's grace, more of God's grace in our lives, and we'll do some of this tonight when we kind of turn to a ministry time, is through the laying on of hands. We lay hands on one another. We invite the Holy Spirit to come. And what does Paul write in 2 Corinthians? He says, 2 Corinthians 1:15, just to give you the verse. Because I was sure of this, I wanted to come to you first so that you might have a second experience of grace. Paul was an apostle. He knew that wherever he went, he had authority as an apostolic man to lay hands on people. And not only, I think, here he's writing in 2 Corinthians about a second experience of grace. Had Paul written a 3 Corinthians, he would have talked about a third experience of grace. And then if he had written 4 Corinthians, he would have spoken about a fourth experience of grace. If God gives greater grace, we need to continue to be those that receive and say, God, whatever you want to do tonight, whatever you want to do right now, I want more. I need more grace. I want more. I believe you guys tonight, when we start to pray and we lay hands, that you're going to have another experience with God's grace. This is my theology. My theology is this. Here we are. I'm a believer. I'm born again. The Spirit of the living God lives inside of me. The third person of the Trinity lives inside of us. That means we're far greater than X-Men. If you were all into X-Men, you know, a lot of us watch those movies. I was into those movies. Maybe now more, it's like this generation is more focused on, you know, the Marvel guys in the Marvel universe, whatever, you know, the Marvel movies. All of those guys with all of their superpowers doesn't even hold a candle to who we are in Jesus. If we are born again believers in Jesus Christ, the third person of the Trinity, God himself resides within us. That means that if we lay hands on somebody and we invite him to come, we are talking about something that is greater than a nuclear explosion. The very God who said, let there be light, and there was light, who spoke things into existence at creation, lives inside of us. You know, somebody has once said about when Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb and he said, Lazarus, get up. Somebody has said the reason he said, Lazarus, get up, is if he would have said, get up, all sorts of other dead people would have got up. He had to be very specific because he was the second person of the Trinity on the planet doing what God does. He was releasing the kingdom. And so when we lay hands on people as born again believers, filled with the Spirit, that means something has to happen. I mean, even today, I was out working out and a woman was suffering, I think, from heat stroke and exhaustion. And she was laid down on these stairs and I just came by and I offered to help and no, we're okay. And then I said, well, okay, I'm not going to be able to, they don't physically want help, but I'm going to just pray right now. I'm going to come back down. And I just stopped there and I just began to pray and release the kingdom. And they were good Catholics. They were crossing themselves. And God gave her grace to make it up the hill. Actually, really, up the hill. All right. So another way. So laying on of hands. Here's what Paul wrote to Timothy, one of his disciples. He says, don't neglect the gift that you have, the gift that is within you, that was given to you through prophecy when the council of elders laid hands on you, right? So Paul knew that one of the ways that we impart grace to people and we release grace in the kingdom is through the laying on of hands. So we want all the means of grace that are accessible. So let us not neglect that. We have authority. We're going to lay hands on people tonight and we are going to pray, and the Holy Spirit is going to give greater grace through the laying on of hands. Another way that we get greater grace is that we repent, right? There's a huge emphasis right now globally in the body of Christ that the church needs to repent. If anything, this struggle that we've, this pandemic, this shaking that we've been in the middle of, one thing that God has clearly been speaking to his church is, church, repent. Whatever you, where there's compromise, where there's defilement, where we have partnered with darkness, the Lord is purifying his bride in this hour. I just want to give a scripture. Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside or throw off every weight and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with endurance the race set before us. Hebrews 12:1. So this is a call to repentance. We're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay off. Let us lay aside. Let's throw off every weight, every hindrance. And this isn't this true? The sin that so easily entangles, you know, so easily entangles. And let us run the race with endurance that's set before us. Draw near to God, you know, James writes, and he will draw near to you. All right. Let me just jump down. I'm gonna skip one here. Another one is confession. You know, if I'll just quickly hit on this. It says, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another. What? That you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous man or a righteous person has great power as it is working. Right? The prayer of a righteous person. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and do what? And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is a means of grace, you know? Now, in some churches, you have to go and you have to confess to a priest. But that isn't what the apostle writes. The apostle writes that we confess our sins one to another. When we come, and it's also linked into humility, but when we go to a brother or a sister go to a sister, a brother go to a brother and say, you know what? I want to bring this into the light. It comes out, it breaks its power, it comes out of the darkness, and we get what? We get grace. Confession is a means by which God releases greater grace. Now, this is really important, especially for you guys. But we have to have the eternal perspective. Because in this world, we live in a world where there's a lot of pain. Some of us, even in this room, we've seen people that have probably, most likely, I would imagine, knowing you guys, you have seen people that have literally, because of their addictions, because of their toxic lifestyles, their lives were cut short. I've had friends who have died from toxic, reckless lives. They've had their, you know, terrible stuff. I mean, we can all think of stories of people that, you know, we can think of celebrities, rock stars, people that we look to, people that we love their music, we love their work. Lives cut short. Addictions, you know, or things related to their addictions. Let me read a couple of scriptures about this, and I want to paint this thing. I want to paint this picture. Hebrews 10. But recall the former days. Hebrews 10, 32 through 34. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened, this is talking about your salvation, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. So here we have in Hebrews, we have a description of people that were imprisoned, people that had their property stolen. Obviously, we're talking about affliction. We're talking about persecution. If we signed up, Jesus said, I didn't talk about this verse earlier, but Jesus said that you will be hated by people because of my name. If you identify with Jesus and you become his disciple, he said that in this world, you will have tribulation, right? That's what the scripture teaches. But Jesus says you will be hated because of my name. I don't know about you guys, but I have experienced hatred because I'm a disciple of Jesus. I live in the Middle East, and because I follow the real Jesus, they think they believe in Jesus, but because I follow Jesus, who is the Son of God, who is God himself, the second person of the Trinity, they don't believe that. So they push back against people. They call that blasphemy. They think we've elevated a prophet. They believe Jesus is only a prophet, and we've elevated him and we worship him. They believe that's blasphemy. So they hate us when we talk about who Jesus really is. But how is it that Christians are able to endure in this world where many, I mean, even this year, brothers, this year alone, there's been thousands of Nigerian Christians that have been martyred at the hands of radical Muslims. Thousands of our brothers and sisters have lost their lives following Jesus. How can that even, how, we can't even imagine, how is it that they didn't deny their faith? How is it that they were able to endure? And I would propose to you, I would suggest that the reason that they could do that is because, here it is in Hebrews 10, verse 34, they knew that they had a better and a lasting possession. They knew that this world that we live in right now is passing away, and that they were going to live forever and ever and ever and ever in the presence of their God. This is so important in this hour for Christians to get a vision for the eternal perspective, because many Christians, it's like, if things don't go right in my life, if I don't get a breakthrough in the next couple of weeks, if my circumstances don't change in the next month, well, I'm done. I'm walking away from Jesus, you know? And yet, I don't know what sign-up sheet we signed up for in the Christian life, because to be honest, Jesus did not promise us in this world just blessings. He promised us reality, but he also said that in this world we will suffer, we will be persecuted, and we will be hated. And the only way, guys, that we can get through this life in a victorious way is if we realize that we're just passing through. In fact, another verse in the New Testament talks about this life as but a vapor. So let me just give you this perspective for a second. So some of us have gone through some real big stuff, right? Some of us have lost friends, like we've talked about, to addictions or toxic lives, or, you know, people that actually, because of their addictions, their lives were cut short, or maybe they were experienced crime and were literally killed in violence, whatever. Or, you know, many of us have friends who have died from diseases, cancers, stuff like that. We know people that have, their lives have been cut short. But here's the perspective I want to try to just capture, is that just fast forward 100,000 years, we're never going to be looking back at this life and say, I can't believe what I had to go through, because this life is but a vapor compared to that. And the reason that Jesus could come to the planet and tell people, I want you to give up this world to gain the next, that's what he said. He said, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Paul writes in Romans 12, by the renewing of your mind, do not be conformed to this world, because this world is passing away. Let me just land this plane with one more way that we can access grace. The last one is this. unfriend the world. You know, on Facebook, you have Facebook friends, you unfriend them. This world is not our friend. You know, James writes this, he says, "You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God?" That way too many Christians think that they want to be all connected and I want to be all relevant, and they make friendship with this world in a way that is enmity to God. This world is not our home. This world is not our friend. The systems of this world, the ideologies of this world, the values of this world are completely opposite to Jesus's values. And so that's my final point about accessing greater grace is unfriend the world. I'll just say in Jesus' name, amen.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Pastor Dave. I really appreciate you sharing all that, brother. That was great. And now, you know, however you get down with this part is awesome. I just want to set the stage for the audience that they would know, hey, like, Pastor Dave doesn't know us from Adam. And he brought his friend
Craig
with him and stuff. And he doesn't really know us at all or anything about us, but he's just going to do his thing and do the Holy Spirit's thing.
Really. Yeah, and so we're just continuing to go with the podcast, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, well, I'm thinking right now, and I just want to pray this. I want to pray this for those that would listen to this podcast and even the guys that live here. That are not here right now in person, but that might be able to listen to this message later. I want to pray a prayer of freedom. Yeah. Because I believe that, okay, we just celebrated our nation's birthday. July 4th just passed us. Freedom is probably one of the most sacred values that we have as Americans. I mean, to be an American is to be into freedom. I mean, I've traveled around the world, and there's a lot of countries where they have other values, they have other things that they're into. But right now, I believe we're living in days where God is accelerating and he's giving freedom. And I want to pray, and that for those that would listen to this podcast, that whatever chains are holding us back, whatever is happening in our lives that is hindering us from walking with Jesus the way that we know Jesus wants us to walk with him. I believe that tonight, what God wants to do, or right now, you know, whenever somebody's listening to this podcast, is that God wants to literally remove chains that are on people. I've been getting this word of knowledge for people when I've been ministering to people. I feel a chain around my ankle. Literally, I feel like there's a chain, and I know that when I get this word, that what God is saying is he's saying the person in front of you needs to be set free. There's something that's holding them. And I believe that right now, those that would access this by faith, and whatever it is, for any of you guys, for anybody listening to this podcast, that we are living, Jesus came to set captives free, right? One, he set us free from the kingdom of darkness, right? We were captives in the kingdom of darkness. We were being held captives outside of the kingdom of the Son that God loves. We were being held captives. And what does the scripture says? It says that we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. So that was our first freedom, that we were set free from that captivity. We were forgiven. We were brought into the family of God. We were enemies. We were outside. We were not part of the family, and we were brought into the family. All right. So that was step one. I know that the guys that are here and the guys listening and the men and women listening to this podcast, they would say, okay, I've done that. I've changed my allegiance. I'm no longer a son or a daughter of darkness. I've become a son or a daughter of the King. But right now, just because we got out of that kingdom and we were transferred into the kingdom of light doesn't mean that we're walking in all of the freedom that Jesus purchased for us. I want to tell you, there is a freedom. What does it say? It says, if he has set us free, then we are truly free. Yeah. And I'll tell you, I mean, there are way too many Christians that are living below their inheritance. It's like we have been given a bank account full of money. We've been given an ATM card and the PIN code, and we're not going and getting the withdrawals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's there. It says that we have been given everything that's needed. Everything that's needed has been already been given. So what's the problem? Mm. We're not accessing it. We're not living connected. Mm-hmm. We're not bearing the fruit that abiding with Christ moment by moment, day by day. And I'll tell you, listen, when we are getting free from addictions, and I'll tell you right now, I have a story because I got free from a sugar addiction and an addiction to food. And the thing is about any addictions is it's the same thing that goes on in your brain with a porn addiction, is the same thing that goes on with a food addiction, mm-hmm. and the same thing that goes on with a drug addiction, and the same thing that goes on with a gambling addiction. The same brain chemistry, the same chemicals in the brain are in play with any addiction. So there is a string that runs through addictions. And you know what God wants to do in this hour? He wants to heal our brain chemistry. He wants to set us free. And one of the reasons that sobriety is so important to walk in sobriety is that as we continue to walk in freedom from whatever drug, and again, it could be, it's the same thing with porn. Porn, we know so much now about porn addictions, is that for somebody to walk free from a porn addiction, they have to stay in a place where their brain is not getting any porn for it. Some would say up to 2 years, 2 to 3 years of no stimulation from porn to really heal the brain. And yet what happens is somebody gets a level of freedom from their porn addiction, and then they relapse after some time. And they just, and so what it does is it kind of sets you back. It's the same thing with any addiction, is that we have to walk in freedom, and then this incredible body that God has given us and created us with has the ability to rewire our brains. So that literally, and you guys know exactly what I'm talking about. Like what happens is you walk in a level of sobriety, you walk in a level of freedom, and then there's a setback. And it's like, oh my goodness, it's like, how did I thought I gained so much. And it's like, that's why it's so important that we understand that real freedom, long-term freedom, has to happen where our bodies, our brains can be healed completely, that the pathways in our brains, and our brains get retrained. The brain has this neuroplasticity that this is just the majesty of God, is if we can keep ourselves free from these things that constitute addictions for enough time, our brains will be completely healed. And that would mean after that time, let's just say that you know, a brain that's had a porn addiction gets completely set free and a time to heal. That would also mean that, let's just say that 2-3 years down the road, there's an exposure again to some of that filth. It would not result in the addiction coming back. Yeah. Because the brain's been healed. And so it would just be a quick rinse off. And okay, there's been a defilement. And I just want to believe that what you guys, there's a key here that God wants us. He wants to give us special grace, because it is not just day by day. It's hour by hour. You guys know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's absolutely. Hour by hour.
Absolutely.
And that's why the beauty of what Jesus said. He said, "Lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age." He never leaves us.
Yeah.
Isn't it an incredible thing? Mm-hmm. So I want to just pray this prayer that one, this that a deeper, I know you guys are, there's the renewing of the mind. You guys are in the Word. You guys are in worship. You guys are accessing so many of these means of grace. Mm-hmm. But I want to pray as well that, you know, we will know the truth, and the truth will set us free.
Yeah.
I've just spoken some truth about that applies to porn addicts. It applies to drug addicts. It applies to gambling addicts. It applies to people with food addictions. Everybody is wrestling with these addictions.
Yeah.
And oh. Jesus is the answer. And Amen. The church isn't even talking yeah. about these things.
Well, go yeah. for it, brother. Go ahead and pray over, right. over us, and we'll release that. And, yeah. You know, do
so, Lord, right now, I just thank you, God, that you are giving insight right now in this hour to so much of your church that we can see that all of these different addictions that are so widespread throughout the body of Christ, all of these addictions, they're common to so much of the church. So many people are struggling at different levels. And I just thank you, Jesus, that you yes. came to set captives free, that yes. you set us free from the kingdom of darkness, yes. but that you are setting us free from each and every addiction in our lives. And so in Jesus' name, by the power of the blood yes. and the power of the cross, for those that are listening right now, I just want to break chains off of your life. The things that are holding you back, even the shame and the condemnation and that self-talk. I hear it. I'm never ever going to be able to get free. It's just a lie. With God, all things are possible. That you did not come and give us these promises that we can stand on and this power that is available so that we would just continually return to our vomit again and again and again and again and again. Mm-hmm. And so right now, in the name of Jesus, I impart faith yes. to believe that this is forward progress in such a way that there's not going to be a going back to what was yesterday. That literally, that every day we go from grace to grace, from glory to glory, that the intention of God is that we would always be moving forward in progress towards greater holiness, sanctification, and freedom. Mm-hmm. That with you, all things are possible, that we don't have to backslide, we don't have to relapse, we don't have to go back to that place. And all of us know, we know that we know that we know that we want to walk in freedom. We are addicted to freedom.
Amen.
That there is a change in our addictions, that we were addicted to these other things, and that God, I'm just asking that there would be a transference and a shift, that our addiction would be to the presence and power of God, to intimacy with Jesus, that we would be addicted. Even right now, my wife, she is addicted to the Word of God in a way. She's like, I just can't, just hours every day. She just wants to devour. And it's the Old Testament of all places. She's just addicted to the Word. Mm-hmm. And it's bearing fruit in her life. And I just want to release that. God, addiction, healthy addictions, you know? There are things that you've given us in the kingdom that are worthy of our attention, that are worthy of our addiction, that we can take this negative term addiction and we can say, I'm addicted to Jesus. I'm addicted to healthy eating. I'm addicted to a lifestyle that is healthy, that is whole, that is holy, that is free. That's what I'm addicted to. I'm addicted to living life as you designed it, God. And I bless that and I release that in the name of Jesus.
Amen. 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 That's awesome. Thank you so much. Anybody who is listening to that, that applies to.
Amen.
Right? Amen. Anybody who's, you know, here, that applies to us. Like, so good.
Oh, that was all me.
That's what's up. That's what's up. So, do you have any words for us? Anything that the Holy Spirit, you know, speaking to you about? Anybody here? Anything like that you'd like to share?
Related to what I was just sharing, I really believe that we're living in days where it is so important that we don't play around with darkness, you know, because the level of deception, the level of demonic activity, the spirits that people are getting under. I mean, just look at our nation right now. People that were friends last month are enemies this month.
Yeah.
People are getting under spirits, hatred, division, anger, vengeance, and all sorts of perversion as well, that we're living in a day of such toxicity. And I really believe that a word to the church is, if there was ever an hour that the church needed to discover what that gift of the discerning of spirits is, that we would know, I cannot partner with that, because if I partner with that, if I get around that, I'm going to be defiled. So I really believe that right now, and I gave this word, I just want to give it to you guys as well. I gave this word to a brother last night in a renewal meeting, and I really believe it's just come back to me. I said, you're in God's military. You're already in the army, but God is calling you right now into the special forces. And what would that mean? And it was interesting because he said, dude, I'm in the military. So it was a confirmation. But I said, you don't understand. I mean, he understood. But I said, what I'm saying is this. You're already in God's army. But we're living in a day where God is calling people not just normal training, but special forces training. That we are going to be adding things like fasting to a lifestyle, you know? Like, rather than fasting being this great neglected discipline, the Church of Jesus Christ around the globe is going to realize Jesus said that when the bridegroom is taken away, then my disciples will fast. We're going to come into a time where people are going to realize that I'm fasting today, guys. I'm you know what? I knew I was coming here tonight, and so I said, you know what? Fasting is a way that we access greater grace. I'm going to minister to some guys and be with some guys that are hungry for greater grace. And so today, you know, I'm not hungry. I have this diet that I follow where fasting is not difficult because I'm never hungry. It's only hungry when you have a toxic diet of addiction where you always have to be eating sugar all the time to make you feel. And if you're not getting the sugar, then you're unhappy. This is why addictions are so difficult and so toxic, is that when people aren't living in the presence of what they're addicted to, they become very irritable. They become very anxious. They become very, you know, they're not nice to be around. You know, you guys know what I'm talking about.
Yes, we do.
You know, and so, I'm sorry. That, you know, and so I really believe we're living in a day where God is calling us to a level of intimacy and devotion that yesterday we could live just with normal training. But God is saying to his church right now, I want my church to realize that everybody needs to be enlisting in special forces training. I mean, and if you know anything about the special forces, we see movies about these guys. There's normal guys in the military, and then there's guys like Navy SEALs. There's guys like Delta Force. There's guys like Rangers or whatever. That, you know, I don't know all the names. I just know Navy SEALs and I know Delta Force. These guys, their training is so intense that like one of these guys is worth five normal. Yeah. And I believe that is a word to you guys, is that if you want to get out of the darkness, out of the fog, with the clarity, you begin to think of yourself as, I am going into a relationship with Jesus that in the military would be called special forces training.
Yeah.
And that means, listen, normal guys in the military, they can wake up at 6 a.m. or whatever. But if you're a Navy SEAL, you might be up at 3 a.m. and in the ocean freezing your butt off, right? I mean, I've seen a little bit about the special forces and their training. So guys that are in the special forces, they train differently. They live differently. They don't tolerate compromise, right? So I'm telling you right now, I really believe that this is a word to the church. We are living in such toxic days, such days of deception, so much going on in the spirit realm that we in the church have to be more discerning. That what we could get away with living, you know, and I'm telling you, with entertainment, guys, we need to shut off the frickin' news. The news, people get under it. How many people have watched a news program and you watch it, and the end of it, you're angry and you're like, oh, and you're fearful and you're what? I'm telling people, stop it. Get off. Just stop, you know. This whole idea of listening is being defiling. And some of the entertainment, I'm looking at like Christian friends of mine on Facebook, and I'm like, these programs are showing up, advertisements for them, you know, programs on television. And it's like, I'm looking at some of my Christian friends that like this program. And I'm like, No Christian should be watching this program. It's yeah. full of defilement. It's yeah. full of filth. It's full of, you know, all sorts of stuff that no. And yet I'm looking at it going, okay, we as a church, we need to wake up to the fact that when I was a kid, when I was young, most stuff on television was okay to watch. You didn't watch television to get defiled. But the stuff that people watch today, and the stuff and just the stuff that people listen to. You go to the gym where I work out in the Middle East, all of my Arab students, they're listening to this American rap and hip hop. Yeah. And I'm listening to it going, I gotta get something over my ears. I've heard more stuff about, you know, stuff that I shouldn't be hearing.
Yeah.
And just the normal stuff that's going on. We have to purify our eye gates, our ear gates, and we need to start saying, okay, God, I want to hear your voice. I want to sensitize myself to the voice of God. So I want to give that word to you guys.
Yeah.
There's a word. You guys have been in the military. You guys signed up. You enlisted. But there's a second sign-up sheet going out right now, tonight. I'm looking for men and women, if you're listening. I'm looking for people that would say, I'm willing to go for the special forces, because I believe that is what is going to be needed in this hour.
Yeah.
Find me.
You know, addictions, it's never going to be easier to get free from an addiction than it is right now. Mm-hmm. This is a word for all of you guys.
Yeah.
Because the stuff that we use, when I used to smoke pot and when I used to do coke when I was young, the toxicity, the strength of the drugs that I did, the speed that I overdosed on that led me to Christ when I, back in the 80s, I overdosed on speed. The stuff that we were messing around with was so minor compared to the stuff that's available today.
Yeah.
Like people are telling me that the stuff that we used to, you know, get
yellow stuff
was so mild compared to the stuff that is available today. And I know that as we go forward, a buddy of mine, he got free. He came to Christ after tripping on DMT. See, you guys are the only guys I've met that even knows what DMT is.
Yeah.
I didn't know what it was. But he told me that DMT was arguably 100 times more powerful than acid. And in my day, yeah. when people were dropping acid, that was pretty like, ooh, that's legit. Nobody was doing heroin when I was a teen. That was like nobody. I mean, you know, heroin was something that you'd see in some wacky movie. Like, nope. And yet heroin is widespread. I mean, obviously today. But the kinds of drugs, when I read my Bible, guess what? There's worse drugs coming. Stuff that's more addictive, you know? Stuff that I've talked to people that have you know, I've talked to heroin addicts that also have used, you call it fentanyl?
Fentanyl.
That fentanyl is like 100 times more powerful than morphine.
She'll kill you.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, what are we even dealing with here? There's stuff that's coming down the pipeline, stuff that's available that is so much more, and it's not just, it's more physiologically effective in terms of stringing people out, but the demonic attached to it is that much more powerful as well. That's what we have to understand, guys, is that we're not dealing, like, even the pornography that's available today and the spirit that's on the movies. If you were to look at pornography from the 70s versus pornography today, you might look at it and say, well, it looks similar, but there's a different demonic anointing, if you could call it that, on the porn that's coming out today over and against the porn that was coming out before. It's not the same level. And that's where the church has to understand. We're no longer dealing. It's like that was kindergarten porn.
Yeah.
But now we're dealing with high school porn. And yet it's going to be college porn, right? In terms of a progression.
Yeah.
So we have to be setting captives free right now, because the even like when I was a kid, to get addicted to porn was a process. I've heard people share their stories now. One little video that they saw on their frickin' cell phone that was at school, and they were hooked on porn instantaneously.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, how did that work? We're not dealing with a level playing field. Yeah, you got to, yeah.
Yeah, so as you talk, I have 100,000 questions now.
Yeah, go for it.
What you talked about with, hey, this word you just released that I think we're all going to be, chewing on for a little while about, hey, there's this call to the special forces. You strike me as a man who is the special forces Christian. You really are. And I know humble as can be and everything, but walk me through what just a normal day looks like for you as a special forces Christian.
Well, one thing I just shared with you, and I feel like this invitation came to me as well. When this whole thing came down, this whole COVID thing, I felt like the Lord said, he gave me some instructions. I had just started a 40-day fast. Some of you guys might have heard about the Global Jesus Fast that Lou Engel and some Christian intercessors had called, but Lent had started back in February, and I always fast Lent. And so here we were, I'd started a 40-day fast, and the Lord gave me some instructions in the fast. He said, I want you to get rid of all of your podcasts, all the news, and not the Christian podcast necessarily,
praise
but
God.
All of the political and all of the stuff that I was interested in, and I was good sources.
Yeah,
shut it all down, right? So the Lord was calling me into a time of greater intimacy, and I think that is the first thing I would say is that, and like I just said, we have to shut out the noise. You know, for some of us, it means that the music that we have tolerated in our life that is it's no we just have to let it go. I mean, I'm telling you, there was a time in my life where the Lord said, I want you to get rid of all this music that was... Now, I can go back and listen to some of that stuff, and it's nostalgic, but there was a time where the Lord said, I want you to flush it all. I want you to get rid of that stuff because it's not helping you go to... So, and I'm not saying it's not the same for everybody, but we have to go before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, what is it in my life that needs to change? What is it that's hindering me from becoming whatever you want me to be? And so... getting these distractions right now, the distractions. Entertainment is such, I mean, let's face it. During COVID, I'm looking at people. Oh, I just spent the last week watching a whole season of Fill in the Blank on Netflix. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that is not what Jesus is telling his bride to do in a pandemic. He took away our sports. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge basketball fan, but, you know, taking away March Madness, and then, you know, finally the Lakers might have been making another run. You know, I'm a Lakers fan from the time I was a kid, and it's all taken away. I mean, a huge idol in American culture is our addiction to sports. Well, that gets taken away, right? Mm-hmm. Vacations canceled, you know, plans, you know, my daughter and I was going to go on a little vacation with her. It was taken away from us. Mm. Everything taken away. How much of the church was saying, okay, God, are you trying to get my attention?
Yeah.
Like, what is it? And I mean, the fact that you guys are here right now, you guys are living in this place, you guys are saying to God, all right, God, I need to get free from whatever it is I need to get free from because I have a destiny to fulfill. I believe that right now the special forces has to arise. Why? Because there's assignments that God has for us.
Yeah.
If we're not trained,
yep.
If we have not been trained in righteousness, right? And we there's a verse in the New Testament that talks about being trained in godliness. Wow. I want to be trained in godliness.
Trained.
So that when I go into a battle, I'm going to come out of that battle having pummeled hell and stealing from the devil rather than getting overtaken.
It.
Special forces guys go in and get jobs done.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas normal soldiers, I was watching that movie last night again with my family, Patriot Day, about the bombing, Mark Wahlberg. It's an interesting film about the whole bombing. And I was looking at these policemen that were like I'm like, these guys were just normal cops. Mm-hmm. And they were getting, like, these two guys are making them look like idiots. And I'm thinking to myself, where's the sniper, the special forces guy that's going to come in and get this job done in a second? These policemen were in disarray. They didn't know what to do. They left their machine gun in their car, and these guys are throwing mortars at them or whatever they were. And I'm looking at myself going, these guys look like freaking idiots. Well, what they were is they were just normal cops.
Yeah.
When in reality, in a situation like that, they call in SWAT team.
Yeah.
Who are, and then there's even guys beyond SWAT. I don't know all of the designations.
People like me.
But yeah, yeah, whatever. Yeah, there you go. So I think that right now, that would be, you ask, what does my day look like? Well, what one thing my day doesn't look like is it doesn't look like days that I used to have. My entertainment, I mean, has been almost, like in the last 6 months, hardly anything in terms of entertainment. I'm not, you know, there might be a couple of, you know, television shows that my wife and I watch from time to time, but like honestly, entertainment, distractions have gone from a much higher level to almost zero.
And it doesn't seem like you're bored at all.
No. I mean, Craig, who's with me here, we've been out on the streets. And I want to tell you right now, there is nothing more fun. There's no episode of any show that anybody watches or looks forward to that is nearly as exciting as what happened the other day when we showed up just what, 2 days ago, whatever it was, Mission Viejo Mall down here, and saw these teenagers get healed. Words of knowledge called out, prophetic words given, healings taking place. We saw three of them get healed, three of them get healed. The Lord highlighted two of the healings before they even told us they needed them through words of knowledge. And the thing is I'm freaking still amped about that. It's like when I think about it, there's nothing more fun than seeing God's kingdom break into people's lives. And the thing is so many in the church, they're bored with their Christianity because they're not living New Testament Christianity. I mean, I love a Bible study, but let's face it, if we're just gonna study a book rather than see the person who wrote the book show up in the meeting, you know, I love a good Bible study, but you know, it's like, you know, one of the guys that started the church that I'm, he's the founder really of the church and the denomination that I'm a part of. He gave up, he left a lifestyle. He was in a band and he got saved and he's sitting in church. And after 6 months, he goes to the pastor and he says, "All right, I want to know, when are we going to start doing the stuff?" And he said, "What do you mean the stuff?" He said, "Well, I'm reading the Bible and it's talking about miracles and it's talking about casting devils out of people. It's talking about raising the dead. When are we going to do that stuff? I've been here for 6 months." And the pastor says, "Oh, we don't do that stuff anymore. That was only back then." And he looks at the pastor and he says, "Are you kidding me? I gave up drugs for this? I gave up drugs for this, you know? I mean, we cast devils out of people. There's nothing more fun than seeing somebody who's held by an unclean spirit and in Jesus' name, casting it out of somebody and seeing that person set free. There's nothing more fun than that." Yeah. I mean, I would contend that casting devils out of people, casting demons out of people has to be one of the most fun things to do in the kingdom. Healing the sick is awesome. Seeing people get saved. I mean, all of the stuff that we do. But casting devils out of people and watching them get set free. And where we do it in the Muslim world, it's Muslims that are casting devils out of people. And I mean, there is nothing that is more fun at the end of the day.
Wow.
You know, than doing the stuff, which is, you know, one of the early church fathers. He said, casting out devils, healing the sick. He said, "These are our wonders as Christians, holy, eternal, and free." Because in those days, they would go to the gladiator fights, they would go to the Roman cinema, and people were all into the entertainment. And he said, "You know what our entertainment is? Our entertainment is healing the sick, casting out devils, setting people free. These are our, this is our entertainment as Christians." And so I think that that is probably in this time, if you were going to talk about how to get into the special forces, one of the things is you just got to lay your life out before the Lord and say, "Okay, God, I don't have any conditions. What needs to change in my life?" And he'll show you because he's really, really good. He's far more interested in preparing us to be his kids than we are at being prepared.
Yeah.
He's looking for a bride. Anyway, you have another question?
Yeah. Well, how you know, quickly, but how would you say that you got plunged into living in the Middle East?
How did I get to the Middle East? Well, when I got saved after a drug overdose. So, you know, a lot of times when people come from a radical encounter, they enter into a relationship with Jesus. It was all or nothing. And so I started reading my Bible, and even though the church I went to was probably watering it down a lot, I was not watering it down.
Yeah.
But when I looked around the world and I became aware of the fact that there were churches on every corner in this country. I mean, literally, let's face it. This country is full of churches, full of ministries, Christian radio, Christian television. And I knew that there's parts of the world where there were no Christians, there was no churches. Yeah. I said, what would Jesus do? And so what led me to the Middle East was the lack of believers. I mean, I live in a part of the world where in the country I live in, there's maybe 20 known national believers.
Wow.
20. Thanks. Now, you probably, when you guys have everybody here and your friends, there's more than 20 believers in this room. I live in a country where we know of 20. Now, there's probably more believers in secret, but 20 known national believers in a whole country.
Wow.
Of millions of people. So for me, that's how the Lord got my attention.
That's amazing.
How he then continued to lead us is through dreams and visions to where we are now. I had a dream, and in the dream, I was flying over the country that we moved to, like the map of a country. And then my wife had a dream the next night where Jesus appeared to her and said, and he asked, and in the dream, we wanted to know, because we were being kicked out of one country and been blacklisted from a country. Anyway, we were being kicked out of one country and we wanted to know where to go next. And in the dream, I said, honey, ask Jesus where we should go. And she's like, well, obviously Jesus would know where we would go. And then Jesus said, if you stay in this country, I'll give you a little. But if you move to that country, I'll give you a lot. So that's how we got led.
That's awesome.
We are literally living in the country that we're living in for the last 12 years because I had a dream where I was flying over the map of the country.
Yeah.
And my wife had a dream the next night where Jesus said, you can have a lot if you go to this country. So that is how we got there.
Yeah.
And I would say the way that we have stayed there is because we have learned, not perfectly, but imperfectly, how to access greater grace.
Wow, that's awesome. That's an amazing story, and also an amazing thing you did that God led you to, and that you were willing to follow it. Unfortunately, we're going to have to wrap this up. Shout out to our executive producer, Pastor Phil Aguilar, a.k.a. The Chief. And it's honestly been such an honor to have you here, brother. Like, your story is amazing, and you know what you shared with us, amazing. And it's going to be something we're going to all be mulling over for a while. So thank you so much for coming out, brother.
Appreciate you having me.
Absolutely.
Thank you.